baptism is a picture of this hope and power of new life. So in summary, what is baptism? Baptism's a picture of union with Jesus and identification with him in death, burial, and resurrection. That's what baptism is. Now, the next question is where things get really controversial, though. So we get this idea, okay, got the history of baptism, we understand what baptism is from Romans chapter 6, but then who do we baptize? Now, this is where denominations and different Christian groups have gone a bunch of different directions, okay? So you've got Roman Catholics, and they'll baptize infants, and it's for one purpose, and they do it by sprinkling. And then you'll have, like, the Eastern Church. This is amazing. I don't know if any of you have an Eastern Orthodox background, but they'll actually immerse infants in water because they want to keep with the immersion idea. I'm like, no, man, if I have a baby one day, you are not immersing it in nothing. You know, it's like, but fair enough. You know, they're trying to be biblical. And then we have various traditions that practice infant baptism, some that practice only believers' baptism. And so for us, the elders of City Light Church, we believe that baptism is meant to be partaken only by those who have come to personal repentance of sin and faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I want to give you five reasons why we believe that, why we believe that baptism is for those who have come to personal faith in Christ. First of all, we'll start with John the Baptist. He only baptized those who repented of sin. If you look at Matthew chapter 3, I'll just read it for you. It says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And then in verse 6, it says, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sin. Baptism is for those who have confessed their sin. It's a picture of something that should have already happened in reality. So we have confession of sin, and then we have the picture of death and new life. Secondly, Jesus commands baptism at the end of Matthew's gospel as part of being a disciple or a follower of his. And it's really impossible to be a follower of Jesus apart from personal faith. So in Matthew 28, Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So he's saying, look, I want you to go into all the nations. I want you to help people become followers of mine. And the first step of them following me is I want them to publicly identify as being united with me in death, burial, and resurrection. It's part of being a disciple of Jesus. This can only happen through faith. It can only happen through faith. Thirdly, the apostles in the book of Acts commanded baptism as an integral part of following Jesus. The apostles commanded this. So in Acts chapter 2, I think I told you guys last week, Peter gets the Holy Spirit, you know, like not that long before Peter was denying Jesus to, you know, a servant girl. And then suddenly the Holy Spirit comes upon him and he stands up in front of like several thousand men and he basically says, listen, I've got something really important to tell you. You've crucified the Messiah. Talk about like a 180 in character. And he says, you've crucified the Messiah. And then they say this in response. And when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. He told them other stuff too, like you could be forgiven through Jesus. And, it got nicer from there. What does it say about me? That's the part I left out, though. Okay, so it says, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. It means they were convicted. You ever been convicted? Like someone preaches the gospel or they're talking about sin, forgiveness, new life, whatever it happens to be. And you're like, oof, you got me. Like, were you reading my mail? You know what's going on in my life. That's kind of what was going on for them. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent. First, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this is throughout the book of Acts, when people are responding to the gospel, these things come together. Repentance, faith, baptism, reception of the Holy Spirit. You know, I know it's more common for us in our day to like come to faith in Jesus and then years later sometimes get baptized because we have this unbiblical idea that baptism is like for super Christians. Let me just encourage you, there's never been a super Christian ever once. We are all needy sinners, resting only on Jesus, not on ourselves. And so baptism is a sign of saying, I have no hope but through being united with Jesus in death, burial, resurrection, new life, I can be forgiven. I can be new. And so baptism really does not make sense if not coupled with repentance and faith. And typically it should happen as soon as possible after your conversion to faith in Christ. Then fourthly, another reason we baptize those who have come to personal faith in Christ is that baptism, again, we looked at in Romans 6, is about identifying with Jesus. It's about identifying with Jesus. And that really makes no sense apart from personal faith in him. And then lastly, baptism is for those who have personally put on Jesus. The Bible says that in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27, for in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through what? Faith. It says, for in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God, not because of birth, not because you're a really nice guy, not because you've got, you know, more plaid than God knows who. You know, that makes you a hipster, not a son of God. He's saying, no, these things don't make you a son of God. Try what we will. The thing that separates Christianity from every other religion is every other religion is saying, if you do these things, then you could become a son of God or achieve nirvana or climb a mountain. What's unique about Christianity is this gospel of grace, that you're forgiven and adopted as a child of God, not on the basis of anything you've done, but on the basis of what Christ has done. And all you do is you exercise faith. And so Paul says in Galatians 3, for in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized in Christ have put on Christ. So we put on Christ, we become a child of God through faith. And baptism is a picture of that, according to Paul here. So baptism really makes no sense for someone who hasn't yet put on Christ. Until you've put on Christ, if you were baptized as I was as an infant, I believe that what was happening there was that my parents had a nice ceremony and that I got a nice little bath. Because apart from putting on Christ, that baptism was just a ceremony, not necessarily what I would call biblically a baptism. Now, common objection we'll get is, and look, if you're in this boat, I love you, I'm not trying to offend you at all, but what about infants? Why do we baptize infants? Why don't we baptize infants? What about them? And the general argument for infant baptism goes something like this. You guys ready for this? You're going to have to stay with me because this is like, you know, I know most of us aren't in school right now, but this is like a nice little logical argument, and it makes some sense. So here's basically the argument for infant baptism. You ready for this? Okay, me too. In the Old Testament, the covenant or promised people of God had a mark. If you have this mark, you are part of the people of God. Not necessarily a follower of Yahweh, but you're part of this covenant family, this community. You guys know what this mark was? Circumcision. We'll get to that in a second. So circumcision, that was the mark. I'm glad we have a new one. Okay, so circumcision. Secondly, the argument goes, children of believing parents in the Old Testament received circumcision on the basis of their parents' faith, and they were incorporated into this covenant family, even though they weren't yet followers of Yahweh. So then the argument goes, in the New Testament, baptism, praise God, replaces circumcision as the mark of the new people of God. It's the new initiation rite. And so, therefore, argument number four is, if babies receive the mark of the old covenant people of God, why should they not receive the mark of the new one? And let me just say from the outset, that's very reasonable. That's a perfectly good theological argument. And if you're here and you're like, that's what I believe, can I still be a part of this church? Absolutely. For us, baptism is not a closed-handed issue. It's not like, you know, you cannot be a member of this church if you don't agree with me on the mode and means and who and what of baptism. We as elders believe that baptism's by immersion for those who have come to faith in Christ. But if you're like, no, I just want to be part of this covenant community, are you going to force me to be baptized again and violate my conscience? No. I would never do that. I don't want to force you to violate your conscience, because in that case, I'm basically just pushing you in a pool and being like, ah, you're baptized. You know, that's not what I want to do. What I'd rather do is answer this theological argument, and Lord willing, some of you would be convinced by the power of the Holy Spirit that you would be baptized as a believer. So here are just two problems of a few that I would say at face value for this view of infant baptism, which I think is a perfectly reasonable theological argument. First of all, first problem is that the Apostle Paul clearly teaches that to become part of the new covenant people of God can only happen through faith in Jesus Christ. It does not and cannot happen apart from faith in Jesus Christ. And therefore, the mark of the new covenant, baptism, really cannot happen to those who haven't yet come to personal faith in Christ. Here are a couple of verses. We'll read the Galatians one again. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through what? Faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And then Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. So if you've come to faith in Jesus, you've been circumcised. Also, you were physically. You've been set apart spiritually. So in him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism. So baptism is the replacement of circumcision, so to speak, as the initiation rite into the new covenant people of God. But now look at this. In which you were also raised with him. Remember, baptism is a picture of death and resurrection. What? Through faith. Through faith in the powerful working of God. We become part of the new people of God through faith, not on the basis of anybody else's faith, including our parents. And then secondly, the second issue with this is that we no longer become part of the covenant community through physical birth. In the old covenant, through physical birth, one would become part of the people of Israel, and they were meant to be sort of the missionary nation to all the nations, that everyone would see them following Yahweh and come to know Yahweh through them. Obviously, they didn't do a tremendous job with that, but that was the plan and purpose laid out in Genesis basically 12 to 19. So through physical birth, they'd become part of the people of God. But there's some discontinuity. In the new covenant, Peter says this, this is 1 Peter 1, verse 23, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, so not of physical seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. So, in summary, we believe that baptism is the initiation, right, the mark, the picture, the wedding ring, so to speak, of union with Jesus, and therefore, we believe that that mark, that picture, should be performed on those who have already come to faith in Christ and been united with him. Now, so let me just say two quick things in conclusion on that. One, I just want to remind you, that's not a deal breaker for us. That's not the kind of thing where it's like, okay, so I'm out. No, it's not. But I would really encourage you to think about why you would not receive baptism as a believer. I would just encourage you to look at these verses, think about it, pray about it, and we'll get to this and follow Jesus in it. Secondly, if you're here and you're like, well, do you have anything for my baby? Yes, we do. We do something here called baby dedications. And we do this as basically a picture of what Elizabeth did with John the Baptist and what Hannah did with her son Samuel in the Old Testament. And essentially, we do baby dedications whenever we have opportunity, and it's an opportunity for parents and the church to covenant together to raise this child to know and love Jesus. We're going to do one on August 25th. If you're interested in that, you love Jesus, pray that your child loves Jesus, we'd love for them to be part of it. You can just write that in on your Connect card and I'll get in touch with you. So that is the history and the what it means and who receives it. Now, very quickly, we'll get into what this kind of means for your life. But before we do this, one quick word on how we do baptisms here. We do baptism by immersion here, which basically, it's funny, the word baptism means to immerse. So when we say we do baptisms by immersions, we're basically saying we do immersion by immersion. But essentially what this means is we get you all the way under the water, okay? And the reason we do that, there's a few of them. First of all, like I said, the Greek term for baptism basically means to dip or plunge. So in like secular Greek, if you're reading like a Greek novel, and they said a ship was sunk, they would use the term baptized. So a sunken ship is a baptized ship. Okay, so sprinkling doesn't really catch the picture of this word. Secondly, Jewish baptisms were by immersion. Thirdly, John the Baptist was down in a river baptizing people. They were going down and up out of the water. Fourthly, Jesus' baptism was by immersion. So if it's good enough for him, it's good enough for us. In Matthew chapter 3, it says he came up out of the water, so he certainly wasn't being sprinkled by water. In Acts chapter 8, we see that the baptisms were happening by immersion. The guys actually go, hey, stop the chariot. There's a river. I want to get in. Let's get baptized. And then sixthly, immersion is really an ideal mode of baptism because it's the best picture of death and new life. Now, sometimes people will say, you're buried with him in baptism, so the best picture is like you go underwater, it's like being buried. Now, the very wise among you will say, hang on, in first century times, nobody was buried under the ground. They were actually buried above the ground in these like nice little family tombs. You could be with your family forever. Isn't that what you want? But it was this kind of thing. I've actually been in these in Jerusalem. It's totally creepy because you like walk in and then there's just like all these dead people. And I mean, they're like covered by stuff typically, but still it's kind of strange. But the reason we do immersion is not because they were buried in ground. We do immersion because it's the best picture of death. Sprinkling doesn't kill you. Drowning certainly does. And so baptism is by immersion as a picture of death. Now, why do we baptize? And here's where it gets very real for us. Why do we baptize? Why is it such a big deal? Well, certainly for all the reasons we said before, and let's not recap them. But for one other reason, obedience. We baptize and make a big deal out of baptism because Jesus commanded it. And, you know, just to be totally personal with you, I know that there are many of you here that you love Jesus. You've given him your sin. You've received his forgiveness. And you haven't yet been baptized. And so to hear that maybe not being baptized is disobedience to Jesus can be a little scary. And I know that for many of you, standing up in front of a bunch of people, going all the way underwater, having people see you proclaim Christ as Lord, maybe being baptized even though your parents don't want you to be. Like, I know that that can be terrifying. And I don't want to make light of that at all. That's a really big deal. And many of us have various fears that surround baptism. But let me just encourage you. I've known Jesus now for 12 years. I love him. And I have never regretted an act of obedience to Jesus. And I know it's scary. I know it can be scary to proclaim your faith. I know it can be scary to have me dunk you under the water. I promise you'll come back up. You know, I know it can be scary. And I would just encourage you, choose fearing the Lord over fearing man. Choose obedience over disobedience. Choose this picture of death and new life. It'll be a blessing to you. Obedience always is. It's always a blessing to you. It's always glorifying to God. And the neat thing about baptisms, like the baptism we're going to do next Sunday after the service, we can't do it in the service. They won't let us have water in here. So we're just going to go to a church building right up the street after the service. You're all welcome to come. I'll send out all the info this week over email. But those services, it can just be so powerful to hear how someone has come to faith and new life in Jesus, or if you're like, I am not giving my testimony, that's fine. For people just to see you being baptized as an act of obedience to Jesus, it's so encouraging. I remember when I was baptized, I invited like every non-Christian friend I knew, you know, because I just wanted them to see, like, look, I'm with Jesus. I want you to know about him. And so it's just an awesome opportunity. And so the reason we make a huge deal out of it is because obeying Jesus is a huge deal. And not to be doom and gloom, but to disobey Jesus is a very, very heavy reality. A very heavy reality. He is not your plaything to be messed with. He's your loving Savior who frees you from fear. Now, last question. Should I be baptized again? It's a really important question. Because baptism is not for spiritual all-stars, it's for anyone whose hope is in Jesus. So it's a one-time thing. It doesn't need to be repeated, just like your conversion, because it's a sign of death and new life in Christ, and that's a one-time reality that has ongoing effects for the rest of your life. But I'll say this. Some of you, you're here, and maybe you were baptized in a religion that did not believe in Jesus and the gospel, because there are many so-called Christian faiths that practice baptism, but they don't believe the gospel of grace. They don't believe in Jesus and his divinity. If you've been baptized in that faith, what I would say very lovingly is that was not baptism. That was not Christian baptism. And so my encouragement is not for you to be re-baptized, but to be baptized for the first time. Others of you, you're here, and you were baptized before you were a follower of Jesus. Maybe it was when you were an infant. Maybe it was when you were 8 years old. But some of you, you've been baptized, but you know, I wasn't a follower of Jesus. I didn't believe the gospel. It was just, I was just taking a swim. I would encourage you, be baptized. Be baptized upon the profession of your faith, not anybody else's. So, in conclusion, I'll say this. For those of you, you're here, you're just checking Christianity out. What you need is not baptism. It's Jesus. You need Jesus. Baptism shows us what our problem is. Our problem is sin. And we need forgiveness, and Jesus has purchased it through his death on our behalf. So I would encourage you, come to Christ. And if today you want to put your faith in Christ, the way we show that is baptism. So I'd encourage you, take out your Connect card, say, I want to get baptized. We'll get you all the info. We'll get you set for next week. If you're like, I want to get baptized, but I can't do next week, no problem. We're going to do another one in October. We'll get you going for that. But don't delay. Get baptized. Secondly, some of you, you're here, you're Christians, but you haven't followed Jesus in baptism yet. I'd love to talk to you about it. I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to encourage you. Just fill in on your card. I want info on baptism. Would love for you to take that step of obedience to Jesus. He's building his church through it because we all get encouraged. People that don't yet know Jesus get to see the gospel, which sometimes is, for many of us, a better way of learning than just me speaking. And then there's some of you, you know, you were baptized as a non-Christian or before you were a Christian, I'd encourage you to be baptized. You can sign up on all of those on your Connect card. And here, lastly, we're not going to be taking communion today. For those of you that are normally here, we take communion every week. We're not going to do it today because I want to give you some time just to reflect on baptism. The band's going to come up. They're going to play for a few minutes just instrumentally. And what I want to encourage you with is to think about how are you going to respond? If you're not yet a Christian, will you respond by following Jesus, giving him your sin, receiving his forgiveness, and getting baptized? You can sign up for that. If you're in any of these other camps where, okay, I haven't been baptized yet or whatever it happens to be. But then lastly, for those of us who are Christians who have been baptized, here's what I want to give you some time to meditate on as well. Does your life carry the marks of your baptism? Baptism is a picture of death and new life, of new power, of freedom. Does your life have that mark of freedom to it? Or are there sins and struggles that you're not really even struggling with it? You've been defeated by it. You're not fighting anymore. You're not repenting anymore. You know, living in freedom does not mean you're perfect. It means you're repentant. Freedom is not perfection, it's repentance. When we're enslaved is when we're like, I'm done fighting. I'm done repenting. I'm done getting accountability. And so if you're in that boat, what I want to encourage you with is remember your baptism. Remember that picture of death and new life and live in a way that makes sense in light of it. Maybe you're here, you're not living in any like out and out rebellion or whatever, but you're like, my life just doesn't have that resurrection flavor of my baptism to it. As the band's playing, just talk to Jesus about it. Give him your sin, receive his forgiveness. Lay it out before him. He can handle it. Be real with him.